Welcome to the Talent Intelligence Podcast by Consilium Intelligence. My name is Mark Bright. I'm a co-founder and chief operating officer of Consilium Intelligence. Today, we're thrilled to introduce Sandy Cole. Sandy is the managing director and global head of business advisory services at Citi and is part of the global sales and relationship management team. Citi's business advisory services creates market-leading research and thought leadership on the evolution of hedge fund and alternatives investment industry as a whole. They're looking at shifting attitudes, behaviors, service expectations across the key investor segments and fund managers. The research produced by Sandy and her team have not only been extremely informative, but they've also provided incredibly insightful forecasting on the future shape of the industry. Sandy's a frequent speaker at industry events and is a widely published author. Welcome, Sandy. How do you think people marry together an older person with deep domain experience with that young person who's coming through with huge enthusiasm, ideas on how the world should work?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the big challenge, right? And so far, I don't think the industry has done a tremendous job at it. When we talk to people about how they are making changes to their human capital approach and their talent approach, what we heard were lots of enhancements, right? We heard enhancements first around trying to reframe the mission of the firm, right? So instead of, you know, just making the mission of the firm about generating returns for the investors and making money for the employees, we hear a lot more now about people trying to reframe what they're doing as really getting to the end user benefit. What happens when you are able to make pension funds better returns? What happens? What's the impact on society if you are able to get retirees better returns on their portfolio? So we're seeing them try to get a little bit beyond the near-term impacts and get to the larger societal concerns and try and tie the mission of investment management more closely to values and to ideals that would really appeal to younger workers. And then what they're doing is they're kind of trying to cascade that through their organizations by really engaging senior management to have every person in the firm feel like their responsibility is talent. And so you're seeing much more senior level engagement, much more sharing of ideas, much more listening sessions, many more kinds of activities that are meant to appeal to a broader range of people. And that's been one of the major areas of change, is kind of just reframing the whole dialogue around their human capital program. But when you look within the actual steps that they take, they're still using a very linear lifestyle. They're still looking first at talent acquisition, then at learning and assessment and development, and then at talent retention. And within each of those steps, you see some people really trying to deploy new technologies to make the efforts that go into that step more effective, but you're not really seeing them rethink the foundational approach. And let me explain that, because I think it's a key point. When you think about the approach to talent, we still run our talent organizations to fill jobs. Right? Jobs are the unit that we use to actually define who we need to hire and how many people we need to hire. And therefore, if you take a step back and you look at it from a 50,000 foot level, our human capital programs are really inventory management. Right? We have an inventory of jobs we need to fill. We have an inventory of people we want to have to fill them, and we want to keep our inventory well stacked up so that we can ensure that we're going to have the right people for the right jobs. This is a fine approach in a very stable industry, but the nature of the jobs in our industry are changing profoundly almost every day. And so to build our entire talent approach around jobs that themselves are changing quickly leaves us in this very odd position of people don't know what their work is going to look like, and they don't know what skills they need to hire to get the people to do that work. And when you tell that, and when younger people in organizations realize that, they become very disenchanted very quickly. And so you see more turnover, you see more people choosing to only remain in the industry for a brief period of time. And this is really starting to raise a lot of red flags about, are we going to have the talent pool we need for the future? And that's, I think, one of the biggest learnings that we took away from doing this report, is that it's not that people see the current system as broken, because they're so entrenched in the current season, in the current system, that they don't even see it at all, right? Everyone just thinks this is what you do. And so you get ridiculous things around what hedge funds think they should be doing to keep people. And we heard things like, starting book clubs, having puppy day where you bring puppies in. In fact, one of the people we were playing our report back to told us that, a peer of ours had been in and told them that having puppy day was the number one thing they should be doing to retain talent. And I'm like, okay, I guess that works, but I don't know if that really is getting at the core issue. So I think that we really realized that the system needs to be kind of completely rethought from the top down. And that's where we started to go in the paper. And to be very honest with you, we had to look at industries outside investment management to really get the template, because we are so uniform in our approach to these issues that it's almost impossible to get outside the mindset that currently exists within the investment management industry.
I think that resonates with quite a lot of people. You know, they can see lots of changes happening, technology driven or not. You can see people joining the firm, leaving the firm. Both are disruptive to the workforce. How do you think, with the people that you spoke to, how do you think they're managing the cycle between wanting to grow, having lots of new people come, managing the processes for those where the product's not relevant anymore or is not in favor with their underlying investors? You've got a young staff, old staff, you've got quite a mix going on there. How do you think firms are generally approaching managing this boiling pot, if I could put it that way, of technology advancement, people of different ages, groups, skill sets, or putting being brought together?
I mean, unfortunately, most firms are handling it by letting people go, right? That they are automating parts of jobs, and then they're thinking about how do I therefore, start to reduce some of my overhead and let people go. And what's concerning about that is that oftentimes the people that they're letting go are the more expensive and the more experienced people in the industry, with the idea that they can bring up less experienced and cheaper resources to fill those roles. And that's all great until you realize that half your staff or more have never been through a major crisis period, right? We were talking to one hedge fund that said 85% of their people were not even working the last time that we had the global financial crisis. So they are super worried about what's going to happen, because there's no experienced heads who have actually had to deal with markets in crisis. And therefore, how are they going to actually be positioned to respond, right? And so I think people look around and they realize, oh, there's a lot going on here that we hadn't really thought through. On a more positive note in this story, I mean, what we're seeing is more firms are trying to adopt this mindset of, I'm going to use this automation not to replace people, but to refocus people on what they call is more value add activities, right? So if you think about any process, right, any process you do, it can be an investment process, it can be a marketing process, it can be an operational process, any process you do has an element of data staging, data analysis, data interpretation, deciding on a course of action, and then managing through the repercussions of that action, the market implications, the human implications, the relationship implications. And what we're finding is that this automation curve, the numbers of those tasks that are now being done by machine are increasing. So data staging, data analysis, and data interpretation is increasingly being done by machines, and people are refocusing their human workforce on trying to decide what to do, what actions to take in response to the data insights that they're being fed by the machines, right? Which all sounds great until you realize that's what does value add mean, right? What metrics am I using to evaluate it? What inputs am I using to enhance it? How am I rewarding people for doing it well? And very few firms have gone that far in terms of thinking about what it means for their talent. And so that was one of the things that came up a lot, is that that's where the source of a lot of generalized anxiety sits, because people are seeing either being pushed out the door because of automation or having their work redefined, but not having a clear set of understanding about what is success under the new regime. So I think that right now the industry is kind of betwixt and between on these issues.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. So let's change topics slightly. And I think one of the other points within the paper was all about gender diversity. Well, diversity and inclusion in general, and as part of that, gender diversity. We were talking about that before we came on the podcast. You know, within our own firm, we track the $1 billion club of alternative fund managers, hedge funds, real estate, infrastructure, private debt, private equity, venture capitalists. Within that universe, there's 2,500 firms that make up that $1 billion club, and there's 80,000 or more key investment people that are within those within that group. We see from our own numbers that from a gender diversity perspective, there's only about 23% female. It's still a very male-dominated world. Those statistics change depending on what function you do and how senior you are in the organization. But from a seniority perspective, females still make up a minority of the executive suite. When it comes to functional roles, you know, that there's a lot of female within the human resources, administration, even sales, but not in the investment management, technology, and other areas. Surprisingly, technology and investment management, which are key drivers of what we're talking about here today. If you like what you've heard today, feel free to share, like, and comment. Contact us at any time. Let us know your thoughts and your ideas. Anything else that we could be focusing on that is of pertinent interest to you. Thanks for listening to the Consilium podcast.